Dave and Dijanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
We had a great conversation earlier today about how to get into a good college. Because I think a lot of parents are wondering, what do I do to get into a good college or get my kid into a good college? What should I be focusing on? And historically, there have been a lot of different benchmarks. You can obviously have a good grade point average, your standardized testing. So ACT score, SAT scores can contribute to that, extracurricular activities. But you put all of that forward in an application, and then you either get an acceptance or a rejection letter. Now, here in Utah, it's pretty easy to get into Utah schools. Utah, the University of Utah, has nearly a 90% acceptance rate. UVU, 100% acceptance rate. It's open enrollment. Even BYU is 60 to 70% acceptance rate. But if you start looking at the Ivy League schools, for example, Harvard or MIT, MIT has a 4 or a 6% acceptance rate. So of 100 applications, they're only grabbing 4 kids out of that. It's very difficult. So parents are asking, what do I do to get my kids in? Well, historically, it has been a great GPA, AP classes, extracurriculars. I talked to a high school senior. His name's Trenton Caldwell, goes to Davis High School. He's in my neighborhood. He's my son's best friend. That's how I know about this. But he got a 36 on his ACT. Now, if you're not quite sure what a 36 means, that's a perfect score. He got a perfect score. In fact, your chances of getting a perfect score on the ACT is 0.0025. That's the chances of you getting a perfect score. But when he applied for schools, when he applied at MIT and BYU, he got rejected from both, which got me questioning, does an ACT matter anymore? So I interviewed him about what his trek was to try to get that perfect score and his disappointment when he missed out on his favorite schools.
Very first official one, I think, was sophomore year. It might have been over the summer.
Do you remember how you did?
I think on that one, I got a 34, I think, on my first official test.
What did you think when you got 34? You're like, I'm good. I'm never taking this again.
Nah, I was mad. I knew that I wanted to shoot for a 36, I think, because I knew I had it in me, I thought, anyway, which I was right. But I was happy with the 34, and I was happy that it was better than what I had done before, but I did keep taking it. So
you kept taking it, and then you took it as a junior.
I did.
Yeah. What did you get then?
That was the year I got a 36, so I think I took it twice junior year. The beginning of the year, I got a 35, and then I took it like mid-year and got the 36.
What was your reaction when you got that 36?
I was hyped. So I got a 35 twice. So I had done two consecutive takes where I got 35 and hadn't improved. And I was really hoping that didn't happen again. And I was super hyped when I found out it was a 36. I was like, I can be done.
I reached my goal. Yep. I hit the zenith and it's over.
Yep, I'm done. No more ACT.
So not only is it like rewarding and exciting, you're obviously competitive, you wanted that perfect score. How rare is a perfect score?
From what I understand, I think it's less than 0.1% of the population gets a 36 on the ACT.
That's insanity.
Yeah.
So when you got that 36, what did you think the future would be like? Because that is so rare.
Yeah. I thought that was my golden ticket into any college I wanted, which is not true, really, in retrospect. But yeah, I thought that.
But it's what you thought at the time.
Yeah, I thought I had it made.
Anywhere you wanted to go.
Yeah.
How big? Like, what kind of schools are we talking about?
Like MIT, Caltech, those kind of schools. Turns out Caltech isn't even accepting ACT scores right now. So I didn't even apply to Caltech because I didn't think it would turn out well for me.
So when you realize that some of these premier schools are not valuing the ACT, something that you've excelled at, done very well at, what was your reaction? And they weren't the only Ivy League caliber school to do this. Harvard, Dartmouth, all these schools have gone back and forth and said, yeah, we don't really look at the ACT anymore.
I didn't really find out much about that until I got my applications back. I was rejected from both the schools I applied to, BYU and MIT. BYU was a real shocker for me. MIT, I knew that it was a long shot to get in, even with the 36. And I had heard actually that MIT really values a high ACT score. So I was kind of surprised. I kind of had like a dream in my heart that I was like, I know I'm going to get in, but it just didn't happen.
So you knew MIT was going to be competitive.
Yeah.
But that was your goal. That was your hope, your dream. That wasn't a big shocker, though. Still a disappointment?
Still a disappointment for sure. But I knew the admission rates. I think it's like 6% or something crazy like that.
But BYU.
BYU was a shocker for me. I had no idea. I still have no idea, actually, like what went wrong on my application, if anything went wrong, or if it just the stars didn't align. I have no idea why I didn't get in.
But at the same time, you must have felt like, I've done everything in my power.
That's what it felt like, yeah.
Where do you think you came up short? What in your brain, as you're jumping around, you're like, I've got a great grade point average. What's your grade point average?
It's a 3.8.
So I got a great grade point average. You've taken difficult classes. What difficult classes do you take?
I take lots of AP classes. I took AP Human Geography and Environmental Science in 9th grade. I skipped sophomore year for AP classes because I was super burnt out. Then junior year, I came back with US History and Calculus. And this year, I'm doing Stats and AP Literature and AP Chem.
Seven AP classes?
Seven in total.
Seven AP classes. Have you passed any of those tests?
Passed all of them. I got fives on all of them except for US History, which is the essay writing one.
So you had seven AP classes. You had a perfect score on the ACT. You have a 3.8 GPA. And you have no idea still why BYU didn't accept you.
Yeah, it's got to be either the early action thing or my essays. But the essays wouldn't really make sense to be the factor that caused my rejection, because I did get help from people who do this for like a living, that just write essays or help people look over essays. And I spent a reasonable amount of time, so I thought my essays were good.
And whether it was MIT rejection or BYU rejection, neither give you any kind of answer or explanation of why you weren't accepted?
Nope. Nothing. Just we're unable to offer you admission.
How frustrating is that?
It's pretty frustrating because I really feel like if I knew what it was, I would be able to fix it lickety-split, you know? But it's just impossible, really, because I have no idea. So I am planning on reapplying, and I think I'm just going to do pretty much the same thing. I don't know what I would change other than applying early action to both schools. But I can't think of anything else that would change that.
And truly, this speaks to the heart of the problem right now with higher education is he felt like he did everything right. And as a parent, I would have looked at it outside in and said, yeah, this is a great candidate. This is guaranteed to get you into a great school. But right now, colleges receive so many applications and they don't give us any feedback. If we get denied, if our child doesn't get accepted, it's not you had a lack of extracurriculars or your GPA was too low or the classes you took in high school were a bunch of fluffy, easy classes. We're not doing a good job of telling our kids why they were rejected. And remember, there's a practicality here. They receive thousands, tens of thousands, millions of applications. But you have to understand that these kids that put their application to your school, this is their life. This is their hopes. This is their dreams. And I'm afraid we're failing them. We're not doing a good job of telling them what they need to do to get into college or why they didn't make it into a college. if we can't tell them that, then what are we doing here? That's my number one frustration with college acceptance, and we've got to be able to fix it. When we come back, let's talk about the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is listening to arguments made by former President Donald Trump that says he should be absolutely immune from criminal prosecution. Let's get the latest from News Nation next.